Diana rolled toward her lonely, simple quarters in her wheelchair, dread enveloping her like a choking cloud of smoke. She didn't want an iota of human contact, but something tugged the handle on the back of her chair, stopping her. She looked back and saw Domi regarding her from serious ruby eyes.
Diana, wait! I wanted to talk to you.
Diana winced, pulling down a curtain of straw-like hair to shield her scars from view.
I'm sorry. I'm very tired and really don't want to talk.
Yeah? Is that really it?
Domi let the chair go, and Diana resumed pushing the wheels, rolling herself along. The albino girl walked beside her.
Do I really need to tell you if you're so damn insightful?
No, you don't need to explain a thing to me. But I did want to talk to you.
About what?
Whatever you wanted to. I like talking to you. Bridget would say, I identify with you.
You identify with me?
Okay, well, we couldn't be twin sisters. I look like a lab rat and you look normal.
You're shitting me. This is normal?
She tugged aside her hair, and Domi got a close look at the fused half-mask of skin that covered the right side of her face and her forehead like a hardened puddle of wax. Domi shrugged at the display. Diana let her hair fall over her face.
To be honest, I used to have to sleep with guys more messed up than you. Slimy tentacles, forked tongues. Come to think of it, the forked tongues weren't so bad.
So we're both freaks?
No, we both have trouble fitting in. We're strangers in the places we call home. You avoid the other troops unless you're inside your armor. I take long hikes in the wilderness when things get to me.
It's kind of hard to feel like my co-workers are family. Especially now.
What family do you have?
My parents and brother were murdered by the mutants. And for the past 7 years, Hera has been like my mother. I'd kind of make Zeus my father, but before you came...
Diana rolled slowly into her quarters. Domi followed and matter-of-factly took a seat on the floor. Diana stopped, then realized that the albino girl was just getting a little more level with her in the chair. It was easier for Diana to look down from her chair. The amputee grinned.
What?
No one has ever done that for me. Usually it's just eye to eye with the other wheelchair jockeys, or they stand over me.
I know what it's like being the shortest in the room. Sometimes it gets to be a pain in the ass.
Thanks. It's not like they treat us bad. And I do have some privileges since I'm a hero pilot.
But you're still the sore thumb, like me. Bad enough I'm a sawed-off albino, but I'm from the Outlands, too. I grew up there, at least for a few years. Don't remember what happened to my family after a while. I just ate what I could catch and wandered around, avoiding radiation zones, until I found myself in the Tartarus pits under Cobaltville.
Eating what you could catch? Like what?
Scorpions, snakes, rabbits. Running for my life from bigger predators.
You're a regular Artemis yourself.
That's what the Praetorians are calling me. They called us sisters, you and me.
I never had a sister.
Not sisters by blood. Sisters by spirit. Kind of related to the same goddess.
Diana tilted her head, her hair hanging away from the scarring on her cheek.
Avatars of Artemis.
Bridget's been telling me stories about her. And except for that deal with the one guy who saw her naked, we're kind of alike. Just like you and me. We're both uncomfortable with crowds. We keep to ourselves. We like being alone and in the middle of nowhere. I don't care if somebody sees me naked, though.
Diana rubbed one eye. She was getting tired, but now she was no longer in a hurry to drag herself into her cot and doze off in silence and solitude.
Want to get some coffee?
You paying?
It's free for the hero pilots.
Sounds good. But there's gotta be something you can mooch off me now. Got anything to play music recordings on?
Nope.
I'll look for one for you when I get back to Cerberus.
Domi got to her feet and took the handles of Diana's chair.
Which way to the coffee?
I'll steer, you push.
Sounds good to me.
Zeus led the way, showing Dionysus and Apollo how to make the descent into the crack. They chose to leave Hercules and Poseidon with the rest of the Spartan units on the ledge of the crack, simply because Zeus wasn't certain if the cliff walls would have the strength to handle a dozen robots bounding from stoneface to stoneface. If they all made the journey at once, there was a possibility that they'd all meet in a mangled pile of metal a mile down, buried in shattered rock. Landing at the bottom, Zeus, Dion, and Polly scanned around for signs of mutants. All they could see in the distance was the scattered debris of the skimmer, sabotaged by Kane on his previous journey.
Polly, Wait here. Kirk, you read me?
Loud and clear.
Lead two of the Spartans down here. Polly and I are going in. And we might need the backup. Once Hurt's down, Donnie, it's your turn.
Roger that.
Remaining Spartans, weapons free. Any hostiles, you hose them down until there's nothing left.
Apollo took a tentative few steps into the cavern.
Still nothing on infrared.
He lost too many mutants to pose much of a threat.
If there was any sign of a threat, he'd turn it to paste with a well-thrown warhead. The real purpose of this trip was to assassinate the traitorous Dantum before he spilled any information about the real nature of the conflict between New Olympus and the Tartarus clones. He was split, not wanting to endanger his fellow pilots, but Hera had been insistent.
We're pretty quiet for a scorched Earth mission.
You want to make more noise and wake up a swarm of cranky Nephilim who have at least one spaceship with working guns?
Point taken, fearless leader.
Fearless? I don't know about you, but I'm about ready to lay cable in my cockpit.
All right, I take back the fearless.
Shit, it's not there.
What's not?
There was a much larger craft back along that wall. There were dead mutants all over.
Nobody's on the ground.
They're there. They're just blown ash. Damn it!
You mean the big spaceship took off? Why didn't we see it?
Probably once it was out of the crack, it stayed close to the mountaintops. Strike force to New Olympus Command. Crack has been emptied. Repeat, crack emptied. I need confirmation of radar contacts in the air.
Zeus, this is Central. There was a weather anomaly before. We assumed it was a cloud due to its size.
Say about 250 feet in length, but only 50 feet tall?
A radar contact was not that large, and it bore no resemblance to the skimmer.
Some form of low radar profile, then.
Well, the Cerberus people did say they only detected the ship because of the atmospheric disturbance it left behind. We should ask Bridget Baptiste about that disturbance, see if she can correlate it with the radar records.
I'm here. They're replaying the footage now.
So Marduk's run away with his tail between his legs?
It's unlikely he's gone far. Look around and see if the vaults remain secure, or if the reason he held his Nephilim in reserve was that he was loading cargo aboard his ship.
Near as I can tell, he's made off with all the secrets of the find. Shit!
Which is far worse than we could have imagined. No, the atmospheric disturbance is not the same. What we picked up was a transonic deceleration accompanied by the heat of re-entry. The appearance on radar simply had to do with a reduced-profile aerospace craft taking flight, then dropping under detection.
Herc, Donnie, get your teams over here now. I want full spotlight illumination. Scour the cave for any signs of technology. You see anything resembling a live mutant, you kill it. See anything that looks like a booby trap, you back the fuck off and call me.
You're going to defuse a bomb?
No, but if I set it off, I've got the armor to survive the blast. You trigger a bomb, and we'll need a hose to get you out of your cockpit.
Yeah. Gotta stop Barboli.
Yeah. You think I want to see that? Imagining it, it's bad enough. Turn it upside down, troops. Time's wasting.
The squadron of mechanoids, spotlights flaring, searched Marduk's private vaults. Aside from locked chambers, they found little of the Overlord or his clone master. Zeus in particular, familiar with the cavern, knew that the clone production vats were long gone. With them, he had the ability to create armies of creatures for which Marduk had the DNA map. All of that power was now in the hands of a foiled, vengeful god.
Zeus to base. We've got a bad, bad problem.
Cain opened his eyes from a brief nap. A heating pack tucked beneath his long brown hair spread its healing warmth through the massive bruise on his neck. It appeared that he'd stripped down completely to sleep. He was fairly certain, however, that Bridget had been present for part of his preparations for bed, but perhaps that idea was simply a delusion formed by the painkillers flooding his system. Throwing his legs over the side of the bed, he began to rise, then suddenly froze in place, surprised to see Hera standing in the doorway.
Hi.
Hello, Cain.
It was a moment before he noticed that the Queen of New Olympus was wearing a strapless, shimmering silver gown, strikingly different from her usual body-hugging liquid armor. The smart metal spilled down her body and pooled at her feet with elegant ease. Her hair was damp, a few bangs lying wet against her forehead, and she smelled as if she'd just come from the shower. She took a few leisurely steps toward the bed. Manners, rather than modesty, caused him to pull the sheet over his lap.
I think you're in the wrong room.
Zoo is busy. You are not. Besides,
He's my consort, not my king.
Does Zhu know that?
A flirtatious smile lifted one corner of Hera's mouth as her gown shone faintly with its own soft light, caressing her creamy skin, part of it melting away to reveal even more of one of her long legs.
Yes, our relationship is open. Zhu may be with any woman who takes his fancy, and I may have any man who takes mine.
Hera glided across the room to stand beside the bed. The smart metal fabric shifted again, and now she stood before him clad in narrow strips of silver that only just covered her, and did more to enhance than conceal her body.
Do I look pleasing to you?
If I weren't covered with a sheet, you wouldn't be asking that.
Why are you so shy?
Hera reached out to lightly trail the fingers of one hand along his shoulder.
We're adults, Cain. It isn't as if you have any special relationship with Bridget Baptiste, is it?
Cain glanced up at her. The mention of Bridget had caused him to tense momentarily.
Your Grace...
Majesty, if you must be formal.
Hera, I'm not in top condition right now.
I've always been a strong believer in the healing potential of vigorous lovemaking.
In one graceful motion, she slipped onto the bed and eased onto his lap, straddling him. The sheet pinned between them did little to disguise the heat of her arousal. Sleek, deceptively delicate-looking arms rested on his shoulders, her smoldering gaze meeting his.
And it's not only the queen, but the chief physician here at New Olympus. I think you really should listen to your doctor's orders.
The presence of Hera, her physical assets more than evident, and the warmth of her skin against his, fought their hardest to distract Cain from his suspicion of Hera's involvement in directing the Tartarus mutants against New Olympus. No matter how magnificent her body, no matter how much pleasure the heat of her sensual flesh promised, there was still the potential that she was a mass murderer, complicit in unleashing the Tartarus clones against the very people she claimed to be protecting. Still, mass murderer or not, the gentle touch of her fingertips trailing down his chest and gliding along the tight muscles of his stomach before stopping to tug gently at the edge of the sheet that covered him brought a light sheen of moisture to his skin. Cain wished for a clear solution to this particular moral dilemma, even as Hera's full, silky lips brushed across his, her tongue tracing his stubbled jawline back to his earlobe. He closed his eyes.
Cain, do you know where... Oh, I was just looking for you, Hera. I didn't expect to see you here, and so much of you, too. Cain, keeping your eyes closed doesn't stop me from seeing you, you know.
She's naked, isn't she?
Cain could feel his cheeks reddening with embarrassment.
All but...
What?
I meant very nearly.
Cain kept his eyes shut as Hera crawled out of his lap.
What's the problem, Baptiste?
Marduk has taken several chambers worth of technology from the find. He's loaded it aboard his scout ship and moved. We don't think he's left the island, but he is no longer in the Tartarus crack.
Has this been confirmed?
Cain finally opened his eyes, and the goddess queen of New Olympus was in her standard silver-skinned form, every inch of her body, apart from her face, coated in a millimeter-thin layer of shimmering liquid metal.
Zeus and his team have scoured the entire cavern.
Ladies, could you discuss this somewhere else, at least until I get on a pair of pants?
Bridget looked at Cain, who tucked more of his sheet around his waist. He scanned the room, but unfortunately he couldn't even find a discarded pair of sweatpants available to tug on under his sheet.
Well, I didn't intend to interrupt anything. However, as long as you're up, Cain, we would like to have you and Hera join us in Central Command.
We'll be there shortly.
Cain dragged his sheet along with him, hunting for his shadow suit.
Very shortly.
Bridget spun on her heel, exiting Cain's quarters, leaving him alone again with the Queen. Hera smirked at him, her fingertips drawing down the center line of her metal-clad body. At their passage, the smart metal seemed to melt apart again, her breasts easing free.
Where are my clothes?
Hera tilted her head, mischief flickering in her dark eyes as she looked at his sheet-draped form.
That's not the response I've come to expect.
Looks like we all got something we weren't expecting. My clothes?
I put them in the dresser drawer over there. I didn't think that you'd want to cover up all that so quickly.
Thanks.
Cain turned to open a drawer. There was a rush of air behind him, then delicate fingertips traced down his back toward his buttocks. Kane whirled and grabbed Hera's wrist firmly but gently.
Your Majesty, if you please.
Oh, I was pleased. I thought I was pleasing you.
Kane let go of her wrist and scooped up his shadow suit.
So the little red-headed bookworm does have some hold on you. Is that what's keeping you from sealing the deal here?
All else aside, we have an emergency involving Marduk running around in possession of a 250-foot-long spaceship and Anunnaki technology.
Are those the only reasons? Unfulfilled relationships and 7-foot gods?
That's not enough for you?
He headed for the bathroom, avoiding eye contact with Hera every step of the way.
Well, we'll take care of the emergency, and then I think I can help you recover magnificently from the prior problem. See you in Central Command.
When Kane finally pulled the high-tech bodysuit into place and exited the washroom, Hera was gone, and Grant was standing in the doorway.
What now?
Just wondering what's keeping you.
Getting dressed, if that's okay.
Kane scowled, pushing past his partner into the hall.
Oh, because from the sound of things, I thought it was something else. Bridget said, kindly tell your partner that new information has come to our attention.
It's not enough that you're miserable. You have to have everyone else that way, too.
Misery loves company. Besides, I want details.
Kane pretended Grant was invisible all the way to the control center. Hades looked out a portal, watching small lemon sharks dart and coast past in the crystal-clear waters that had rushed in when Greece broke apart under seismic trauma. A smile crossed the Clone Lord's lips, staring out into the beautiful inlet.
You seem pleased.
I am, Master.
Hades marveled at the display of aquatic life. His smile widened as a school of small, gem-bright fish darted past.
We're alive. You have the clone vats, and thus the means to propagate your life, and the rebirth of lost brothers sure to be in your debt. Hera has command of only one Skybreaker drone, and for the first time in years, I'm seeing beauty.
One Skybreaker drone is still sufficient to cause grievous harm to this craft.
I'll work upon that, sire. I managed to secure some DNA that might be useful to our cause. As part of the artifacts that I'd specifically requested be placed aboard the ship.
Oh? What do you have in mind?
Hades turned toward Marduk and tapped the silvery lattice on his head.
This enables me to telepathically communicate with the clones. What if I were able to utilize clone genetic material from a specific enemy to form a bridge between my mind and theirs? And what if, thanks to this specific psychic bridge, I were capable of wresting back control of Skybreaker?
Marduk's eyes widened, his lips turning up in a smile.
You have Helena's genetic material. What made you think to save it?
We're working in mass production of clones. I made a few imperfect copies and had eventually given up on the process. However, the telepathic web has increased my ability to work with the replication vats. I am quite certain I am able to finesse the process to the point that I can make a usable entity.
If you could do that, Skybreaker would be useless without the broadcast core.
You have the computer records necessary to rebuild it. And how much better would it be to have New Olympus hoisted on its own petard?
And to think, before the fall of man, the most feared wrath was that of a woman scorned. And today, you show the wrath of a man scorned by a woman.
Your will be done.
Hades bowed his head to his overlord. The clone master stepped away with one longing glance out the window. Soon he'd be able to gaze upon beauty across the globe, so long as his plan was a success. The New Olympian briefing room was packed, wall to wall. Even Spartan pilots not assigned to guard duty were on hand, as well as Praetorian unit commanders. The mechanized sentry jockeys who weren't present were hooked in thanks to a communication simulcast that transmitted to their armors. It was the largest audience that Bridget had ever had to address, especially because the broadcast would be relayed to Greek townsfolk over the loudspeakers on the Spartan warsuits. Domi, Grant, and Kane were near, but she was still nervous. She glanced to Hera.
I'm not certain if it's such a good idea to make this an open meeting.
Baptiste, right now my nation is being threatened by powerful forces. I would be remiss if I didn't alert my citizens to the danger that is looming over them. Would you keep secrets from the population of Cerberus?
I'd try to keep my concerns secret from my enemies.
Marduk's a conniving bastard. But even if he was listening in, we're not discussing response tactics. We're talking about the threat that he represents. Besides, I'm sure that the snake-faced bastard is busy with his own preparations for the next phase of this fight.
For a moment, when Kane rested his hand on the podium, his fingertips brushed Bridget's. It was the barest of contacts, but it was enough to form a bridge between the two. Bridget nodded, a tight-lipped smile stretching her mouth. Kane returned the smile. The archivist glanced at Hera. The Queen might have thrown herself naked at Kane, but he would never let Bridget down. When it came to what mattered, Kane's loyalty to her was unshakable, as was her loyalty to him. Bolstered with his strength, she stepped closer to the microphone.
This morning, Zeus and his detachment made their descent into the Tartarus crack. When they searched the old facility, they discovered that it had been scoured of several pieces of technology, including the clone vats responsible for siring the Tartarus mutants, as well as the ancient Anunnaki analog computers from which Hera had gained her knowledge. Given that it is highly possible that Marduk has improved Thanatos' interface with the computer system via a telepathic neural lattice, akin to a Twahadadanan teaching system we discovered, Thanatos has grown far more dangerous, unlocking genetic formulae for alternate life forms not limited to Nephilim. Marduk currently possesses the power to reinstate the overlords, creating new bodies into which their ancient genetic memories can be downloaded. With a revived Supreme Council and the capacity to generate hordes of the Nephilim soldier drones, not only Greece, but the whole world would be vulnerable to conquest.
Dion, pilot of Dionysus, raised his hand.
You mentioned when you first arrived that the Anunnaki Supreme Council was not as homogeneous a force as you had originally thought. They seemed to distrust one another to the point that they made attempts on each other's lives.
Correct. Lilitu had attempted a coup, but the effort resulted in severe losses among the Anunnaki. They also lost the living ship Tiamat, as well as the significant resources held within her enormous frame. If he were to seek the advantage of the clone vats for himself, Marduk could retain the technology to ensure his own immortality. This way, he'd be the undisputed superpower among the Anunnaki, unwilling to share with the other surviving overlords, if there had been any. However, considering Hera's demonstration of Skybreaker, the genetic production capacity that Marduk possessed wouldn't be limited merely to the Nephilim or replacement bodies, but also to techno-organic monstrosities like the flying drones, and using them as devastating offensive weapons. They are very powerful. The preliminary casualty counts showed a death toll in the hundreds just from the lightning blasts of the biotechnology drone. However, since many of the bodies were completely reduced to carbon ash, we only have a vague estimate of 850 dead for a minute of bombardment. Is this accurate, Zeus?
Yes. I had double-checked the chamber where Hera had discovered Marduk's weapon, and the other 19 constructs had been removed. I was hoping that we'd be able to increase our firepower, but we're out of luck on that front.
Given the partial roof collapse that buried and rendered their containers immobile, it was also likely that Marduk could have discovered a damaged broadcast unit hidden under the rubble of the vault. Either way, Hera's sole advantage over the lone overlord is a fleeting one. So discovery of his scout ship is of paramount importance. Currently, Praetorian teams are engaging in low-profile shore patrols. Given the fact that Marduk's scout ship is spaceworthy and the lack of sufficient hiding places above ground, it's our assumption that Marduk and Hades, formerly known as Thanatos, have gone underwater.
Bridget pointed out on a scale map the size of Marduk's craft. Essentially, a baby version of Tiamat, only 250 feet in length and capable of storing 6 skimmers within her bowels.
Artemis, Ares, Kane, and Grant accounted for 4 of the skimmers last night, with a 5th damaged. The potential for a 6th craft, held in reserve as a surprise weapon, is also present, meaning that all mechanoid units need to improvise new weaponry to deal with its aerial assault.
Zeus, who was in contact with Command Central, put his finger to the earbud that connected him. He raised his hand to interrupt Brigid's briefing.
My queen, Cerberus away team Beta has arrived at the Oracle. They come bearing gifts.
As long as there are no wooden horses present, we should be fine.
Domi nodded to Kane before slipping away from the head table to communicate with her team.
As I was saying, your suits will need to be supplied with upgrades. Cat Beta has brought shoulder-mounted heat-seeking missiles and vehicle armor packages to improve your chances against more vigorous opposition. The armored couches you pilot your suits from provide satisfactory protection from behind, but for the sake of operation, your chest plates are not perfect. They certainly do the job against the primitive small arms of the old Tartarus raiders, but when it comes to sheer numbers, their homicidal rage has proved sufficient to drive their reinforced bayonets through the chest armor. Zeus has been the lone exception to this due to the armor materials that were found at the Tartarus vaults.
Ted Eufastus, the lead mechanic for the new Olympian suits, raised his hand.
You'll have enough armor for the other 48 suits? We only sent 3 Spartans to the Oracle to receive the members of your team. And while they are physically strong, it would take multiple trips.
Unfortunately, we only had enough armor packets for the 8 main hero suits. However, we managed to bring along improved protection for the 40 Spartan unit pilots. We have body armor with ceramic trauma plates and protective flight helmets. The trauma plates are perfectly suited to increasing the survivability of your pilots against penetrative trauma, but the Sandcat armor packs will go to the hero suits specifically to enhance their survivability in direct conflict with Nephilim opposition.
Herc, the commander of Hercules, brooded, looking at the other lead pilots at the table.
So it's up to us to carry the fight.
Not so. Given the success of the 84mm recoilless rifle last night, we've gone through our stockpiles. We have 20. And right now, Fast's team is assembling ammunition pouches for the Spartan suits, based on Zeus's and Artemis's scabbards for their explosive warheads. The recoilless rifles should work perfectly as handguns for your gear skeletons.
And the rest?
Grant stood and moved to the podium.
Our familiarity with the COG facilities pointed out where your arsenal should have been. Unfortunately, when the Earthshaker went off, the corridors leading to that section of New Olympus collapsed. A team of demolition-trained Praetorians is making their own corridor to your arsenal using explosives that we brought with us.
If there's an arsenal, what about our own vehicles?
They should have been in our hangar. Unfortunately, across the centuries between Skydark and my coming to New Olympus, raiders penetrated and scavenged what they could from our vehicles. What couldn't be driven or fueled were cut down for scrap and spare parts. You've seen farmers in our area using Jeep and Sandcat tires and wheels for their carts and improvised field plows.
The upside to this is that if your arsenal is as stocked as we believe, the Spartans will be able to upgrade to polycarbonate magistrate armor and helmets, improving their survivability even further.
Cerberus satellites have detected an anomaly in the waters off of Island 3. We're dispatching a Praetorian spotter team to the region.
That's got to be the scout ship. Once Cat Beta gets here, I'm going to make an attempt on Marduk's ship.
Domi walked back into the room.
Cat Beta's just about here.
All right. Baptiste, I want you to stay here with Beta. We'll be in contact through Comtact, so there shouldn't be any problem. If we need help, then we'll coordinate with Cat Beta and the Olympian force.
Herc raised his hand again.
Wait a second. You're going after Marduk alone? We haven't had a chance to implement the improvements to our warsuits. What happens if you've bitten off more than you can chew?
The purpose of this mission is reconnaissance, and if possible, sabotage, which is why it will only be the two of us making this run. We don't expect to be that long, but thanks to Fast and Brewster Filboid, your suit should be up and ready to rock in the space of an hour.
Hera looked over the magistrate pair.
New Olympus owes you a debt of gratitude.
Hera froze in place, her eyes glassy. Brigid, standing next to the armor-clad queen, recognized the symptoms of a psychic assault.
Kane, Grant, restrain her!
The two Cerberus men reached for her arms, but Hera's shimmering metallic flesh thickened, growing ridged scales, fat straps of strength-enhancing smart metal running along the lines of her normal musculature. Grant managed to maintain his grasp on Hera's forearm simply because his hands were so large and powerful, but Kane's grip was popped loose as her right arm swelled, the golden tentacles of her asp blaster slithering under his palms. Immediately they began to glow, but Hera was compelled to backhand Kane rather than fire the devastating energy weapon. Hera's armor had boosted her strength sufficiently to hurl Kane the length of the conference table, bowling over Brigid and other members of the New Olympus staff. Brigid pushed Kane off her. Kane scooped up a chair as a shield. Hera gestured, and her blaster discharged, reducing the chair to a handful of shattered wood. Two blunt clubs remaining in Kane's hands. She glared at him.
Oh, hello, Kane. Still want me to go fuck a sheep?
Hera shrugged, hurling Grant to the floor with a surge of smart metal-enhanced strength. Oh!
Danton, I was wondering what you'd hide behind next.
Actually, using Hera to kill you was only an afterthought, Kane. And the name is now Hades.
Hades, Thanatos, Danton, sheepfucker. It all sounds the same to me.
Hera took three long strides, swinging a spike-laden fist at the Cerberus warrior. Kane dodged the blow, thankful that Danton's fighting skills had atrophied in the 7 years he spent at the bottom of the chasm. He was able to trap Hera's arm under his own, and he landed a knockout punch at the juncture of her jaw and her neck. Hitting that spot on an unarmored person would have resulted in instant unconsciousness. Unfortunately for Kane, punching the smart metal was like punching a steel bulkhead.
I might have slowed down in my old age, Kane, but I still remember where I'm vulnerable to a knockout shot.
The possessed queen pumped her knee into Kane's groin. Liquid fire erupted in Kane's crotch, a wave of nausea boiling up into his belly. He was taken momentarily off balance, and his leverage against Hera weakened, allowing the goddess queen to lift him like a rag doll. Hera didn't get the chance to throw him, as Grant wrapped his thick arms around her waist and yanked her out from under Kane. He hit the floor on his hands and knees, and he looked up to see Grant flip Hera back in a suplex. The smart metal cushioned her head and her shoulders, cracking floor tiles easily. She whipped her heel up and into Grant's stomach, knocking the wind out of him.
Baptiste, got a plan?
Other than stay the hell out of her way? No.
Kane looked back to see Grant, fighting to keep Hera's talon-tipped hands away from his throat. The knot of Hera's armor shield jerked violently as a .45-caliber round hammered it. The smart metal stretched in violent reaction to the assault on its interface with Hera's nervous system, losing its rigid spike growths and muscular thickening. Even the asp tendrils lost the fire of their emitters. Kane whipped around and saw Domi lowering her pistol.
She's stunned!
Hera shook her head, her smart metal beginning to flow off of her, revealing her skin in places, her hair matted to her head with sweat.
Get out of my head!
She was on her knees, but the grimace on her face showed Kane that Hera was engaged in full-fledged psychic combat. The jolt to the cybernetic interface with her armor had given her the break she needed to wrest back control of her body. Hera punched the floor. Normally, this wouldn't have worried anyone, but her hand was naked, the metal retracted from her skin, and her knuckles split with the violence of her blow against the tiles. She lifted her fist and punched again and again, blood spraying with each subsequent impact. Kane was about to aid her, but Bridget stopped him.
No, don't! Hera's using the pain as a psychic anchor. You break her concentration, and Hades will regain what ground he's lost.
Kane could only watch helplessly, though Hera had lost the strength to pound the floor beneath her. Instead, she ground her bloody knuckles into the shards of floor tile she'd shattered. Tears flowed down Hera's cheeks.
I am Hera Olympiad, goddess and queen of New Olympus. I will not be a slave again!
Kane glanced around the room. It was apparent to everyone present that their leader was in a fight for her life, and there was nothing they could do. More than one pair of angered eyes glanced over to Domi, who had dared to threaten their queen's life with a bullet to the back of her neck. If Hera didn't win her battle with Hades, Kane knew that he'd have to fend off an enraged throng of Hera's loyalists, all hungry for Domi's blood. Hera finally straightened, kneeling. Tears still wet her cheeks, but her face was an expressionless mask, her eyes rolled up into her head.
This is it. If she wins, we're safe. If Hades wins, everyone in this room is dead.
Not if I kill her first.
The smart metal stopped draining away from Hera's skin and started reconstituting around her flesh. Her irises pivoted back into view, and she stood looking to Kane.
He's gone. He will not be back in my mind.
What about your hand?
Hera chewed her lower lip, then locked her black smoldering eyes on his.
Hurts like a son of a bitch, frankly. But the armor's setting the bones, and has sealed off the bleeding.
You're sure?
Hera nodded. Kane glanced at her silvery hand. He could see broken hand bones being repositioned, splinted by the smart metal. Occasional ticks flashed across her face, betraying the agony she had to have been undergoing. but she shrugged out of his grasp and walked toward Domi. The feral girl put the pistol back into her holster, regarding the new Olympians around her. She realized that she'd put Hera's life in danger, and with that action, she may have doomed herself. Hera rested both hands on Domi's slender shoulders and smiled.
Domi, thank you. You saved my people from what could have been an unstoppable rampage. By stunning my armor, you also interrupted Hades' concentration enough for me to drive him out.
Domi nodded, her ruby eyes locked on Hera's face, searching for any sign of menace in her voice. All that she found was a gaze of warm gratitude.
I was worried that the bullet could have hurt you.
Hera turned Domi's palm up, then deposited a deformed slug in it.
The armor is made of far sterner stuff than our flesh, but not stronger than your spirit, aiding mine against Hades.
Hera turned to the crowd, one arm across the girl's shoulders.
New Olympians, the enemy has tried once more to bring war to our doorstep. What say you to this insult?
In that case, Kane, I believe you have an appointment with the submerged scout ship.
Kane nodded, looking at the display of fierce loyalty that Hera had just commanded. Though it was in Hera's best interests to preserve the unity between New Olympus and Cerberus for now, should they have to act against each other, Kane knew that the Greeks would not bat an eyelash if she commanded the Outlander's deaths.
Baptiste, I hope you're wrong for once, because if you're not, and Hera is as murderous as we think she is, we won't stand a chance.
Bridget intertwined her fingers with his, giving his hand a squeeze. Kane didn't have to look at her to know the worry on her face. Hades convulsed violently as Hera finally broke contact with him. In the clone matrix, the half-formed, wisp-limbed figure that bore only genetic resemblance to Helena Garthwaite was wreathed in clouds of blood that gushed from the slits that formed its mouth and nose. Its eye stalks waved in the glowing lime-green suspension fluid as they collapsed in on themselves. Had it the musculature to reach for its disintegrating face, it would have, but the unborn thing didn't even possess the strength to yawn its mouth wide open for a final death scream. By the time Hades finished vomiting on the floor beneath him, mucus draining from his nostrils and tear ducts, the clone was dead.
I can make another.
No, I think you've put on enough of a regurgitation display for the rest of the year, Hades.
Marduk looked at the floating atrocity in the tank, the pink slush of brains oozing out of a vestigial ear hole as the soft, rotten fruit skull began to collapse upon itself. He waved off Hades dismissively and started to walk away. Even the Anunnaki overlord didn't have enough stomach to deal with another loathsomely fragile sack of proto-humanoid birthed within the replication vat.
Sire! Sire!
Clean yourself up. You have accomplished the one mission that I directed you to.
But the others...
The others will be dealt with all in good time. Clean the vomit of yourself. The slave drones will mop this chamber up. Set the vats to continue production of Nephilim.
I am sorry, sire.
You are successful. Once the enemy realizes what we have wrought upon them, it will be too late for New Olympus. When Hera falls, so will her robot army. When her robot army falls, so shall the rest of her false empire. And with that, we only have one enemy. And I am ready for war against them.
Hades winced, holding his convulsion-ravaged abdominal muscles. He nodded weakly.
When I was in her mind, I learned that Kane and Grant were on their way. They figured out where the ship is.
Marduk half glanced over his shoulder, his reptilian lips curling up in a smile.
Excellent. Then dress up, my brother. We must present our best face when we have such important company on their way.
As you command.
And Hades, the next time you clone Hera, wait for her to finish baking first. As it is, that thing is utterly useless, even if it had survived. If you comprehend what I mean.
I do, sire.
I won't need her now, but keep that in mind.
Marduk left the cabin, isolating Hades once more. The clone master struggled to his feet and limped toward the door to get cleaned up as silent soldier drones entered to tend to the messes left behind. Guilt dragged on Hades as he observed Marduk's lonely walk to the bridge of the scout ship. Yes, he had connected the lone active Skybreaker drone to the 19 duplicates within the hold of the scout ship. But in the psychic struggle with Hera, he no longer knew who was in charge of the horrible weaponry. He could feel the drones, loaded into launchers by Nephilim laborers, stirring at the back of his mind. But they didn't feel as if they were part of his mind, not quite. Hades feared that he had not waged his last telepathic conflict. He had one lone consolation. If he failed, then the furious goddess queen would make death swift and certain. Sela Sinclair walked into the hangar with the rest of Cat Beta, flanked by the 15-foot robotic gladiators who tugged along the trolley pallets laden with Sandcat armor packages. The lean, wiry woman looked appreciatively at the preparation berths that lined the walls, technicians hard at work on repairs and upgrades. Kane and Grant, clad in their shadow suits, augmented with sealed environmental hoods, were inspecting weaponry that had been recovered by the Praetorians from the recently opened arsenal. Grant waved at her.
Now this is what I'm talking about.
What?
Robots. This is what I've been expecting the future to look like. High-tech shit.
Crazy, freezy.
If they were high-tech, Sinclair, they wouldn't need replacement chest seals.
Towed by a Spartan unit, Brewster Filboid rode in on top of a stack of six cartons. His legs crossed as if he were riding a magic carpet, surveying the land.
Nice place you got here. I like the ass side of the moon landscaping. Very chic.
The worst car cheat in Cerberus has to be the only Jamoke smart enough to adapt these armor packs.
Jamoke?
I don't know. Picked it up from him.
Filboid rolled his eyes and slid off the panels.
Gentlemen, please. There's a time for business, which is now. And then there's a time for having a friendly game of cards and taking these poor schlubs for every single penny they have, which is after we kick Marduk's ass.
Classy.
I'll need a partner, even if he is only the second worst hustler in Cerberus.
Grant's foul mood softened, an eyebrow rising, seemingly at the thought of making some easy money.
Great. I let the serpents into Eden.
Well, it's not as if we'd be doing any harm to their economy. They don't have pennies.
So, why do you two look like you're going scuba diving?
Because we are, which is why we want Cat Beta here in force. Domi already had good relations with the Praetorians, as does Baptiste, so the integration of forces will go much more easily.
It'll be good passing the command back to her. These knuckleheads might be good partners, but playing den mother to them requires someone with more patience than I've got.
Domi? Patience?
Oh, Kane. I brought this for you.
Sinclair handed Kane a Sin-Eater holster attachment. He hooked his blaster to it, then strapped the entire unit to his forearm. A flex of his muscles and the folding machine pistol sprang into his hand. Then the weapon was folded back against his arm, an unobtrusive part of his limb.
Now I feel right again.
One of these days you're gonna have to train me on those things. Those are cool.
Take 6 months of practice and carry before you're even allowed to load it. It would probably take even longer if you're an old dog trying to learn new tricks.
Kane, I've been there for the interviews of the mags you wanted to recruit. Rocket science was not a high-priority requirement for that crowd. No offense to present company.
Well, none taken.
Sinclair, if you're quite done talking boomsticks with an Iceman, can we please get to work?
All right, which one of you's named Fast? I got delivery of 30 deep-dish armor plates with extra anchovies.
Hera stood at the Skybreaker core, looking at it, and if it hadn't been for her breathing, one would have thought someone had installed a beautiful statue next to it, sculpted from the purest platinum in the world. Her stillness, however, belied the turbulence churning behind her black eyes. Calmness chipped away. Diana, in her wheelchair, remained quiet, uncertain whether she should interrupt her queen's concentration, not even aware of what she wanted to accomplish here. Finally, Hera glanced over her shoulder, spotting the amputee pilot. She held out her hand.
Diana, my child.
Diana rolled forward, then reached up to interlace her calloused fingers with the delicate gold-gloved digits.
My queen, you had summoned me.
Diana didn't dare to look Hera in the eye, preferring instead to remain behind her curtain of straw-colored hair. Smooth metal fingertips brushed the locks aside, cupping the girl's cheek.
Diana, it has only been less than 2 days. But I feel as if we've had a gulf of years since I reproached you.
Diana risked a glance up at her face. The Queen had always been smooth-skinned and young, most likely due to the effects of the amazing armor she wore. However, Hera's eyes looked out over bags of exhaustion, wrinkles puckering at their corners. The stresses of the preceding desperate hours had taken their toll on her.
Diana, I was far too harsh with you.
No, my queen. I had spoken out of turn.
There was a weak, sad smile on Hera's face, delicate fingers gliding down to Diana's shoulder and giving it a squeeze.
That would be the situation if this were a tyranny, my child. New Olympus is not ruled by me. I came here. I endured the title of queen and goddess, but really, you've all been a part of the important decisions. This is not a government without representation by the people.
But
I tried to make New Olympus a better place than what I had found, and much better than the environ of hell that I walked out of nearly a decade ago. It wasn't easy. Zhu wanted me to have true authority rather than share my power with you.
Diana narrowed her eyes, confusion flashing in her mind.
It would have been easy to live up to the role of goddess queen, crushing any who questioned my wisdom. But I am not that kind of person. If there is any evidence to the contrary, it's where I buckled under to Zhu's counsel.
Zhu told you to be so uptight about going into the Tartarus crack? Why?
I don't know. All I know is that he said that his missions to the crack were for the greater good of New Olympus. Those ambushes on Zeus's patrols, where the others had been lost?
Hera locked her eyes on Diana's, her hand holding the pilot's tightly.
Diana, do you think that those losses could have been because their pilots suspected something? Did they ever say anything to you?
Nothing was said to me, though I had heard rumors.
Rumors. Rumors aren't enough on which to base a prosecution. Neither is the fact that Zeus was able to observe this alleged association between Marduk and Danton.
What are you talking about?
Well, as has been said, Marduk used to be Baron Cobalt. And before I was exiled on this fool's errand, I had been Cobalt's lover. But he became bored with me. And as the ruler of 1/9 of North America, he had some considerable leeway to discard anyone who bored him. I suppose I'm lucky I wasn't just thrown to the cannibals in the Outlands.
Diana couldn't resist the urge to glance back at the doorway, where Domi hovered like a blood-eyed ghost. She caught a glimpse of the pale albino standing just behind the door jamb.
Then why send Zeus and Thanatos with you?
Thurmond and Danton were my handlers. If I found anything, they would report back, using their communication equipment. This way, Baron Cobalt would profit from the risks I took.
Handlers?
Hera nodded, a tear crawling down her cheek.
In more ways than one.
Diana's throat tightened. It may have been the stresses of the past few days, but the roller coaster ride of loyalty and betrayal in the face of the Queen had come full circle. Here was a woman who had been smashed viciously by circumstance and conspiracy. Diana wanted to wrap her arms around Hera, to hold her, to apologize for ever doubting that she was anything but the benevolent savior who'd returned Greece to its greatness.
Please, Diana, be careful. Thurmond is dangerous. He would think nothing of murdering you and attributing your death to Danton.
Diana compressed her lips, looking back toward Domi in the doorway.
Hera,
it's all right. The people of Cerberus, they might be our only hope to completely sever our ties to the past and remove a cancer from New Olympus.
Domi stepped across the threshold and tapped her contact implant.
The others have been listening in. They know.
Keep it quiet, if possible. Zhu has deluded everyone, gotten them to love him. He's been hedging his bets. And after today's show of vulnerability, he might be poised to take control. I'll be discredited by one means or another.
We'll watch out. You watch yourself. If you need help, Cat Beta and I will fight right beside you.
Hera's face tightened as if to hold back a flood of tears. She held her free hand out to Domi, who took it.
Thank you, Domi. Thanks to you all.
Hera released her hold and straightened.
I need to clean up. If this is the day in which I'm to spend my last hours as queen, then I don't want to be remembered looking as if I cried all night.
Diana and Domi nodded, leaving the goddess queen's chamber. As soon as the door closed, Hera walked to the sink while sending the mental command, withdrawing the tension that her smart metal mask had applied to deepen her barely formed crow's feet and the strain in her face. She washed off her makeup in the stainless steel basin, removing the eyeshadow that had been applied to deepen the troughs beneath her eyes. The former archivist remembered all the material from the 20th century, referring to award-winning performances. She patted herself dry with a towel and smiled at her reflection in the mirror.
Oh, darling, that little gold statue would be yours, if they still existed.
She straightened, admiring her curves in the mirror, imagining herself as perfect as the gleaming reflections created by mirror skin and vanity. As she drank in and savored those images, her wide lips curled up in a smile.
Poor Thurmond and Danton. Always the pawns, never the kings. Danton going from being my lackey back to serving old, limp-dicked Baron Cobalt. And Thurmond, the sap.
She reapplied her makeup, primping herself for her appearance in Command Central, returning to her role as the leader of New Olympus.
Perhaps when I'm finally queen of the world and I've whipped these pathetic apes into some form of civilization, I'm going to have to restart the performing and visual arts.
Hera straightened, checking various angles on her face to see if her appearance was to her taste. It was.
I could be a one-woman show.
She folded her hands together under her chin, entertaining thoughts of her conquests.
Oh, Baron! Oh, Baron! Oh! Oh, Thurmond, I'm so cold. Hold me. Danton, no one can grasp the complexities of our discoveries but you and me.
Hera threw her hand over her mouth. Her eyes widened with realization. Danton had to have knocked something loose in the telepathic attack. She'd lost control of herself, emotions flooding to the surface. She glanced around her chamber, realizing her luck at being alone in her personal quarters while suffering this momentary loss of self-control. Hera straightened, glaring at herself in the mirror.
Get your shit in order, damn it. Kill Marduk. Kill Danton. Reveal Thurmond's complicity with Danton, then have him killed. It will all go away in a simple spray of blood, and you'll still be the queen.
She shuddered, adrenaline pulsing through her veins. She could feel the Skybreaker drones within the hold of the scout ship. Danton had tried to sever her telepathic link with the lone Skybreaker, keying it through to whichever vat-spawned abomination that formed the psychic bridge between them. The attack on Hera's mind was not only an attempt to control Skybreaker, but also to render her a helpless opponent. The bubbling to the surface of her memories would have left her crucified had any new Olympians heard it. They tried to destroy her by getting her to spew her secrets in public. Hera strode to the threshold device. As she brushed her fingertips over the pyramidal gem, she felt the crackling energy of the parallax point hum through her. The threshold itself had been vital to the Skybreaker design. Its dimension portal power enabled the column to actually broadcast the electricity generated within the core through the nodes to the units, as well as transporting the drones. It was with regret that Hera turned away from the power core. She wasn't able to teleport Marduk's drones. They didn't have a nearby threshold and were away from the parallax point, so she couldn't open a portal between Marduk's scout ship and her laboratory. The other drones wouldn't even respond, as they needed to be powered up, jump-started at range. She'd have to rely on exploiting Kane and Grant. It was a shame. Kane had such potential as a lover.
Oh, well.
She turned and headed to Central Command. Kane wasn't the only stud left on Earth. Domi didn't like distracting Kane and Grant while they were making their way to the coast, but their contact conference was necessary. Diana sat quietly by, listening to Domi's side of the conversation.
Domi, you were there. Was she putting on a show for Diana?
Hard to tell. She's keeping some things to herself. It's tough to figure out what she's really like. This was different behavior, but it could be just an act.
I've been constructing a mental timeline, given the facts that we know, and everything seems to fall neatly into place.
Which could mean an airtight alibi, or Hera's been paying attention to whatever holes are in her story, and she's been slapping excuses into place for our sake. Given the fact that thousands have suffered because of the Tartarus mutants, Hera's got to have a great deal of deniability if she's involved with them. So the construction of a cohesive, unbreakable story is right at the forefront of her thought processes.
Diana says the idea of Hera being a victim of Thurmond and Danton's sexual violence was aimed just at her and me. She thinks Hera's counting on my experience with Guana to make me have sympathy for her story, if it's true. Also, Diana says she knows Zhu, and he's too busy concentrating on getting the job done against Marduk to engage in any intrigue. I have the gut feeling that if push comes to shove, Zhu would give it all up for New Olympus, even against Hera.
Diana nodded firmly at that, her expression grim.
I'm getting that same vibe from him, too. He's been asked to pull some heinous shit, just like we used to when we were magistrates, but underneath, Thurmond always struck me as someone who was looking for more than just being the poor bastard stuck between the fucker in power and the people being shit upon.
So we have two votes for getting in contact with Zhu.
What's your opinion?
You sound like you have one of your own.
I've only spent one night on rounds with him, but we talked with a lot of Praetorians. They may seem like just a bunch of pawns, but Lakesh would say there's a chemistry between them and Zhu. He actually treated them with respect. Talking to them like equals, like he was glad to be there with them. Didn't smell like he was shoveling shit at them.
I'm going to go with Domi's judgment. Do we let Zhu in on the fact that Hera's trying to sell him out as the villain? And even if we do let him know, do we keep his involvement in this a secret from the rest of New Olympus and possibly threaten his life?
I'm throwing in with Domi, too. It's unanimous. We've got to trust Zhu. He's always seemed the lesser of two evils.
So much like the rest of mythology. Zeus, for all his flaws, always ultimately the benefactor, while Hera remains the malefactor.
Domi, it's up to you and Diana. We're at the waterline.
Make sure you get back here.
Make sure we have somewhere to come back to. Kanan Grant out.
Domi looked at Diana.
Well, we're betting on Zhu.
Then we know what we have to do. Let's go.
Grant stretched out the high-tech hood, then tugged it over his head. He was amazed at how the high-tech material automatically self-adjusted, conforming like the shadow suit to the contours of his body. He'd expected to feel claustrophobic with the hood pulled into place, but instead of feeling like he'd stuffed his head into a sock, it felt as if he'd grown a second comfortable skin. The mask fitted over his face, a gentle current activating at the edges of the cowl to create an airtight magnetic seal. There was no feeling of a charge, just the impression that he was plugged in. The opaque mask shuddered, then seemingly disappeared, as if a strong breeze were blowing sand off a windshield. Grant knew that the world outside wouldn't be able to see his face, but the optic camouflage technology enabled him to look through the black mask, akin to the one-way glass that had been used to isolate prisoners back in Cerberus or in Cobaltville. The optical enhancements built into the mask were odd and alien compared to the far more conventional technology of the magistrate helmets. He had to make certain not to concentrate on any one subject too much, lest the sudden telescopic zoom of the smart mask engage. The effect was one that gave him not so much a headache, but vertigo. Nausea underneath the sealed mask would ruin Grant's day. He looked to Kane, who was also now clad head to toe in black. Kane tapped his forearm, and the shadow suit altered its coloration, absorbing ambient surrounding light and bending it through fiber-optic material to diffuse his appearance against the surrounding countryside.
We're really getting the most out of these suits this trip.
Grant followed Kane's example by putting the shadow suit in stealth mode.
We? How many times have you been smacked by musket balls in the past 24 hours?
Grant suppressed a smile, even though he knew that Kane couldn't see through his mask.
Let's see just how good the rebreathing units are on these hoods.
Grant looked at the waters 30 feet below them. Beyond, under the waves, Marduk's scout ship awaited.
How good? You mean you haven't tried diving with these?
Nope. And Domi didn't even bother with her hood when checking the water filtration system.
Now you tell me.
Kane stepped off the cliff, hitting the water feet first, keeping his body straight. The disturbance on the surface was the only indication for Grant that his friend had avoided the rocks and gone underwater. Before he could think about it too much, he dropped in after Kane. The water enveloped Grant, though the shadow suit's environmental protections kept him from feeling any temperature change. Opening his eyes, he saw an indicator for ambient water temperature at 64 degrees Fahrenheit floating in his vision, as if he could reach out and touch the numbers. Another indicator popped up, confirming that oxygen filtration was enabled.
Looks like they work fine.
A faint shine caught Grant's eye. The optics of the mask showed Kane as a shimmering outline in the water, a ghost of his former self.
Take a look.
Grant glanced where Kane pointed and saw a distant shadow on the ocean floor. As he concentrated on the shape, the mask's optics kicked in and magnified the image. Though it was still a blurry mass resting on the seabed, it was recognizable.
Like a Marduk to water. Good. You're gonna object to me kicking his ass so hard he'll wear it like a hat? You're getting gentle in your old age. I was hoping you'd try harder. Well, if you insist.
The partners kicked off, swimming toward the scout ship. Zhu sat back in his wheelchair, for a moment watching Fast and Filboid replacing the light machine guns and the shoulder gear mounts with heavier weapons. Confronting him stood Domi, her arms crossed, red eyes gleaming so that he felt a surge of overwhelming guilt at being caught. His heart hammered, and he squeezed the armrests of the chair, absorbing Diana's tale of Hera's confession. His lips drew tight, and he wanted to bury his head. The two women looked at him, and he knew that they wanted an answer.
She's pushing all of this off onto you.
The thing is, it is partly my fault.
Bile boiled in his throat, but he swallowed it back down. His mouth tasted of acid, the sting reaching up to his nose. He wished that there were a good enough excuse for the burn of tears forming in the corners of his eyes, but he would be lying to himself if he dismissed it.
I did buy into Hera's scheme, and I killed fellow pilots who had gotten too close.
In the hectic preparations for war with Marduk and Hades, the only ones in position to hear what Thurmond had to say were Diana and Domi. He was grateful for that much. Each syllable was a knife into his heart, driven by the mounting pain in Diana's eyes.
I did go as Hera's personal messenger to the Tartarus crack, and the patrols that were sent out to ambush me were merely cover so that the suspicious could be eliminated.
Zhu, will...
Please. I can't stomach that name now.
Why not?
He glanced at the wall where pilots were looking over their suit modifications with the ground crew. New armor plating covered the chests of the gear skeletons, and large-barreled cannons and launchers now adorned their massive shoulders. The Spartans were as magnificent as they'd ever seemed. Zeus ground his teeth together, wishing that for once he could lead them as the invulnerable defenders of freedom and life that he'd wanted them to be.
Zhu is the name of a friend who didn't really exist. He was as much a lie as everything Hera ever told me.
He's no lie!
I agree with Domi. If that were the case, we wouldn't have come to you. Right now, we're in need of some real friends. And you're the only one we could stand behind against Hera.
Or else we wouldn't risk our lives by sharing this information with you. If you were as rotten as Hera said you were, you'd have us arrested and killed. Instead, you're sitting here, almost wishing for a bullet in your head just so the pain stops.
Zeus blinked, grinding his knuckle into the corner of one eye.
You can read minds, too.
It's all over your face. I know people.
So you'll trust the monster only because, if you don't, the Praetorians and the Spartans wouldn't dream of following you.
We're trusting you, period.
Saving your life, too. Just say the word, and you'll have a loyal army ready to back you up.
Thurmond returned his attention to the other pilots, readying for the next stage of war with Marduk. One Spartan flipped him a smart salute before hefting a rocket launcher. Zeus flinched.
It will still be her word against mine.
Her word against your actions.
Do you honestly feel that Hera wouldn't be prepared? She's already dropped a load of bullshit in your laps and expected you to buy it.
So you give up and let her railroad you, then you end up in front of a firing squad, and she gets all the power she wants and keeps on ruling.
You'd stop her, and justice would be done. We'd both be dead.
Not without loss of good people, and not without shattering New Olympus. Damn it, Zhu, you're the ideal we've all lived up to. You are loved as a hero because you are one. You've fought tooth and nail to protect lives, and I've been relentless in drilling that responsibility into my Spartans. Everyone has.
It's a fine time for you to come out of your shell, especially since Hera wanted me to kill you for going close to the crack.
Fine, then. Be the coward. Knuckle under and be Hera's fall guy. You don't want to be loved anymore? Then I'm done with you.
Diana pivoted her chair and rolled over to Artemis. Zeus glanced at Domi, who glared at him reproachfully.
You understand. You know the difference between right and wrong. The bad guys have to be punished.
There's one thing I've learned. Things ain't always black and white.
She pressed her hand over his burly forearm.
Sure you did wrong. I tried to murder people. Kane and Grant executed suspected rebels without what they called due process. It's not the wrong we've done. It's the right we've done to make up for it. You going to wallow in being a devil? Or are you going to make it all right by doing what needs to be done?
What could I do?
If you're really a hero, you'll know what needs to be done.
Domi left Zeus with his thoughts and his doubts. Bridget returned to Command Central to find Hera standing tall and proud on her podium, checking out the screens.
Welcome back, Bridget. It appears that the upgrades your people suggested are being completed handily.
I recognized that the similarities between the hinge mechanisms on the chest carapace were very similar to those that we have on our Sandcats.
Bridget approached the Queen and stood off to her side. The archivist knew that the elevation increased Hera's self-importance. She surmised the extra smugness in the Queen's features was from having thrown Zeus to the wolves.
This is Zeus. All systems online.
The monitor showed the 49 mechanoid warriors assembled as one cohesive fighting force, sporting new armor plating and weaponry. While the arsenal wasn't as complete as the one Lakesh had assembled for Cerberus, it was impressive enough. Heavy machine guns and rocket and grenade launchers had replaced the lighter weaponry they had been fitted with. Because the secondary Orichalcum skeletons had proved more than sufficient to survive 20-yard jumps or plummeting free runs from cliff to cliff down a mile of crevasse, whatever recoil forces the new firepower would apply to the nigh-invulnerable hydraulic frames would be negligible. On the monitor, Bridget watched Zeus stride into the center of the floor to address the fighting gear skeletons and their pilots.
We're fighting for the future today. The future is always seen as full of hope, at least by civilized societies. But it hasn't always been that way. After all, back in the late 20th century, the world lived in fear of global conflict that would lead to the extinction of humankind. And those fears came true on January 20th, 2001, during the aftermath of the nuclear holocaust and the prolonged nuclear winter that followed. The future became the next day, the next hour, the next minute. And there wasn't much hope in that beyond finding a morsel of food that had been crammed in some tin.
Bridget shot a glance toward Hera, whose face was an inscrutable mask.
Civilization only succeeds when it has a future to strive for. The world tore itself to pieces because there were those in power who felt the future only brought about some inane religious prophecy about the ultimate battle between good and evil. They nattered about a mythic rapture that would cleanse the world, creating a utopian paradise. Over the past 7 years, I learned that utopia doesn't come handed to you on a silver platter. It comes through hard work, and it comes from sacrifice. And New Olympus is hardly a utopia. It's besieged by monsters, it's in a state of war, and it's not perfect. Nothing made by humans ever is.
Hera rested her hands on the railing around her dais, fingers flexed.
How is your hand?
Hera's black eyes locked on Bridget, anger boiling upward.
The armor is acting like a breathable cast. I also rigged a neural interrupter to minimize the pain, without need of drugs.
Humans are not perfect. No one is pure good or pure evil. Life doesn't work that way. Sure, you think that Hera and I are the greatest heroes in the world.
Bridget could feel the tension in the air like a choking cloud of smoke now.
But I was not always an angel. Our enemy today, Marduk, used to be a frail little frightened tyrant. He gave orders to me, his magistrate, and when those orders were given, they were executed. As a magistrate, I was good at killing. Sometimes it was for the good of Cobaltville as a whole, killing barbarians and mutants who would otherwise raid and murder the citizens who clung to the shadow of our giant city. But other times, I pulled the trigger, ending lives of men and women, the elderly and the children, whose only crime was protesting the absolute rule of that scaled piece of shit out there. You call me a hero, but I wasn't always so. Neither were our friends from Cerberus. Kane and Grant were magistrates just like me, and Domi was one of the barbarians who did whatever she needed to survive in the Tartarus pits. And a few years ago, all of that changed. They learned the truth. They saw that life had once been better, that the world was indeed a fine place and worth fighting for.
Zeus extended his hands to the Spartans, the Praetorians, and the hero suits before him.
They learned, as I did, that there are higher things to aspire to than merely being a good soldier. But the lessons we came to are the same.
Zeus glanced toward Domi, who was listening to the speech at the head of the crowd.
The past isn't what we're fighting for, nor the future. We're fighting for peace. We're fighting so that we don't have to fight, because we're sick of seeing people we love die. Today, I want to stop fighting, and I will. I'll either be dead and rotting, or the enemy we have been struggling against for nearly a decade will no longer attack us. To me, it doesn't matter, because I can see a future where violence isn't a day-to-day part of my life.
Hera's eyes narrowed when she saw Domi nod to Zeus. Her gaze flicked to Brigid.
Praetorians, Spartans, heroes, visitors from Cerberus, I bear my soul to you all.
Metal claws dug into his invulnerable chest armor, peeling the ancient steel carapace away, hinges and locks bursting into fragments.
For too long, I was separated from you by thick, heavy steel, while you were vulnerable in copper and brass armor. Today, you are as mighty as I once was. Mightier!
Inside the cockpit, Zeus was clad in his old magistrate armor, the legs of his uniform tied off beneath the stumps.
My friends, I lived a lie, posing as a hero, when I risked nothing and you risked all. Today, I beg your forgiveness and ask you to stand at my side and go with me, not as those under my command, but as my equals, as my friends.
Artemis bent over and lifted the torn carapace. She laid it on the ground, tore off the handle from a Cerberus trolley, then jammed it into the underside of the carapace, creating a steel D handle that she flattened in place. She handed Zu back the carapace, which he held like a shield.
To hell and back.
Zeus hefted the shield in one metal claw, then held up Artemis's hydraulic hand in a show of unity. New Olympus erupted with applause.
Damn you, Baptiste. Damn you and your interfering thugs to hell.
Cobalt exiled us to hell years ago, Helen. We've done our best to improve its condition since, and if I say so myself, we've succeeded phenomenally. You think that you've pulled stuff we haven't seen before? You're the definition of tin-plated dictator, and we eat those for breakfast. You try blacklisting Zeus now, you'll be shooting yourself in the foot. So my advice to you is shut up and let us do our job. Got it?
An unnatural calm came over Hera Olympiad's face.
Got it?
Hera looked down at her and smiled gently.
Baptiste, how wonderful to see you again.
Almost as soon as the words fell from her lips, Hera clenched her fingers around the railing she leaned on. Metal crushed under tremendous pressure as the smart metal around her fingers thickened to become as fat as bananas. The celebrating crowd in Command Central turned to look at Hera.
My queen?
I'm sorry, residual trauma. Hades is not quite gone from my mind.
Perhaps you should retire to your quarters.
Perhaps you should mind your own goddamn business, you red-headed tart.
Her fists, now massive hams enhanced by her armor, responding to her emotional trauma, clenched, metallic knuckles whining as they ground against each other.
Oh, God, Baptiste, I'm sorry. That was Hades.
Let me escort you.
She reached up, realizing that she was leaving herself vulnerable. Hera winced, fighting against her emotions, her hands returning to the delicate silver and gold limbs that they usually were. The Praetorians looked at the pair, concern masking their faces as Hera was led into the hall.
Time to reload. Outlanders is continued on the next CD.